Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner. I'm the voice of Flint on G.I. Joe, and this is Knowing is Half the Podcast, which is actually an appropriation of the original saying, Knowing is Half the Battle, which was used in a number of public service announcements that have now been burlesqued on YouTube by a number of individuals, and I don't think there's a copyright issue at all. Have a good day.
Much has changed since the last Mortal Kombat tournament. Dark forces of Outworld have begun invading the Earth realm. These attacks are seriously weakening Earth's dimensional fabric, enabling not only Outworlders to enter the Earth realm, but warriors from other domains as well. Only the most extraordinary warriors could possibly meet this challenge. Liu Kang, Princess Kitana, Sub-Zero, Jax, Sonya Blade, Nightwolf, Kiba, Curtis Stryker. Driven by purpose and bound by honor, these are the defenders of the realm.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. But this time, we are not talking about G.I. Joe. We are going to Outworld, and thank you, and we are talking about Mortal Kombat.
Ooh, yeah.
There is more than one piano cover of the Mortal Kombat theme.
I want like 20. YouTube. I want like 20 of them.
I want, yeah, just filling my life with this.
Yeah. I want this to be my theme song as I walk down the street, specifically different. Like, are there any Westworld fans in this room? You guys,
I've never seen Westworld.
Oh, what the fuck, Ray?
I don't have HBO right now.
Westworld? Have you seen Westworld?
Of course I've seen Westworld.
What if that was like one of the player piano songs? Come on, that would be great. Ray,
yeah,
there's a part
great.
In the show where like the player piano plays different modern tunes.
Oh, rad, okay.
But it's like, it's old-timey style.
I love that.
So I feel like this would be a good song that they could load up on the player piano in Westworld.
I would just say that hearing that makes me want to learn piano just so I can learn that one song. And then anytime I, like, you're in a restaurant or something and there's a piano, mm-hmm. and you just start jamming out, I would do that literally everywhere I go.
I was
That's
telling
wonderful.
These gents that when I was a little girl in grade school, I did a dance to this in my gym class.
Holy crap. They keep going. There are so many piano covers of the Mortal Kombat theme.
Dude, it's almost like the song is awesome or something.
Yeah, if I knew how to play the piano, I'd learn to play that crap.
Oh, yeah.
This one's on a toy piano.
Yes. Nintendo style.
This is like something you'd find in like an old Resident Evil game. That was good. Anyway, you guys, we are talking about, this is a Patreon episode right here, but it is live on the main feed for you guys, kind of see maybe what you're missing if you're not on the Patreon. So thank you so much for joining in as we talk about the Mortal Kombat cartoon.
It's Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm.
Defenders of the Realm. Now, I'll be honest, this is from 94, I believe. Mm-hmm. I had no idea this show existed.
I didn't either, but honestly, after watching it, I was like, this is totally a show I would have watched in 1994.
Is that right?
Yeah, this would have been my jam. I actually liked it. I think I liked it more than you guys did.
Well, yeah, it's possible for you to have not have.
Yeah, I feel like you guys, maybe by the time you got to the 90s, weren't watching cartoons.
Oh, I was. I promise that I was.
I definitely was.
I don't think there's a time in my life I have not been watching cartoons.
I was having them imported from Japan.
Okay, but you guys were like watching them as adults. Yeah. Whereas I was still watching them as a kid, and so I think I'm not as affected by the... Because you guys always bring up the, like, 90s animation style, which you do not like.
No.
No.
But I happen to like.
I would say to what Chan said, and building on that, you're right. This was the time when I was really getting into anime. Anything I could inhale, like I would go to the Blockbuster Video and rent everything off the shelves of anime, and I was watching the Vampire Hunter D. Like this, something like this, absolutely. And I think it was a USA Network show.
Spoiler: the thing the vampire was hunting was a dick.
Yeah, he's gonna suck it dry.
That is that guys know that is not how that goes. Stop it.
Dick.
Well, this is episode 8 of the Mortal Kombat. They only did one season of it.
I might watch some of them for fun.
It's actually I didn't hate it. Like I think like well Chan hates everything, so I don't think that's anything. But I definitely was surprised you liked it as much as the secret is called. It's called The Secret of Quan Chi.
I mean, here's the thing. I love Mortal Kombat.
Love Mortal Kombat.
I like cartoons.
Sure.
I like cartoons where people fight. Why? What would I not love about this?
Not to love.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, the animation, the voice work, the story, I guess.
I will say I was pretty pissed. I thought that the intro to the cartoon did a good job of setting it up. And then once I saw the names, I was kind of pissed because they got Liu Kang, who I love Liu Kang.
Yep.
Princess Katana, who I also love. That was my character that I used to play.
Oh, is that
as.
Right?
Yeah. When I was a little girl playing video games, I always played as the girl character.
Of course.
Yeah. And Sonya Blade was kind of lame to me.
I always thought Sonya Blade was pretty lame.
She didn't have a weapon. And this power that they give her in the thing was like a special power that they added later. But like in the first iteration of the video game.
She shot a pink ball. Like,
no,
that
in Mortal
was
Kombat,
deal.
That wasn't Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah.
Is that right?
In Mortal Kombat 1, she was just like a fighter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So when you're placing her next to Katana, who has like a sweet ass like fucking thing that she can make into a blade fan.
Yeah, that's pretty rad.
I was going with Katana.
And her story is more compelling too, because she was a bad guy member of the Outworld. She was a princess there, and she like defected to the human side, so there's something going on there,
which brings us to Sub-Zero.
I believe you mean Luke.
Pretty good.
Pretty sure. Perry.
I will say that
Sub-Zero is the only character to appear in every video game iteration. So he is like a favorite. So you can't have a show without Sub-Zero.
Sure.
But also his backstory is weird, because as I was watching this, I'm thinking of them as villains.
Sure.
So I was like kind of weirded out that they were all working together.
But
and
no,
then
because
Jax,
I was
who,
before,
I'm
to that
right
point
on Jax.
Though, Sub-Zero was so popular to what you said that they had to turn him into a good guy. It's sort of the equivalent in wrestling when you have a really popular heel who starts getting like face pops. So you got to turn him into a good guy because they're going to be cheering for him anyway.
See, I like really, really early Mortal Kombat, like the first Mortal Kombat, or like the new ones that are like super badass, like the 10th Mortal Kombat. But anything in between, I'm like, it's not canon.
Really, Mortal Kombat 2 is like... Mortal Kombat 1, I think a lot of it was the gimmick. Like, it was like, oh, there's blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The gameplay was mediocre, definitely, because it was at the same time as Street Fighter 2, which was, for my money, the best fighting game of all time.
Street Fighter 2 is excellent. I'm a big fan of Mortal Kombat 3.
That's a lot of people's favorite ones.
Yeah.
And that was where, so then we get Jax, who whatever on, because he wasn't in the first one.
Sure.
Sonya Blade, who you know, like, eh. And then Nightwolf. Who was from Mortal Kombat 3.
Yep.
And I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
Nightwolf.
He was pretty lame.
And then Kiba, who was specifically designed for the cartoon.
For the kids,
And then Curtis.
Are you sure he didn't have a wolf in the game?
No, he was created purely for the cartoon.
It wasn't like one of those things where like you did a special and the wolf ran on.
I don't want to say, you know what? I mean, I don't know if you researched it. I don't want to rule that out because that sounds
it.
Like a thing.
I researched it, and Kiba was created specifically for the game. And then there was Curtis Stryker, also a Mortal Kombat 3 guy.
You're not going to, he's my favorite character.
No,
like, yours was Katana.
I
always played Curtis Stryker. Always. I loved him. I'm the only one, by the way. Everybody hates that character but me. But what I like about him is you got these superheroes, you've got ninjas, you've got robots, you've got monsters, and then you just get this dude with a taser, and he's got some grenades.
I thought
that's compelling.
Like,
I love it.
If you're going to give me, like, Baraka, that would have been a, like, sweet-ass Baraka who's got, like,
fucking rules.
Swords in his hands. Like, I would have been on board with that. But yeah, I was like, the ones that I didn't want, I put Get the Fuck Out, Nightwolf.
It's all right. It's okay to hate Stryker. Everybody
and
does.
And Kiba and Curtis Stryker. I was like, I don't want you guys.
Does it help? A, Stryker is voiced by Ron Perlman.
He's
the fucking best.
Awesome.
B, Sonya Blade, Olivia Dabo. who I have a lifelong crush on. Luke Perry, Sub-Zero. We all know that. We all
love him.
I love that notion.
We all wanted to date him around this age.
Can I say Luke Perry is a G, by the way.
I've
known him a little bit, and he is always a cool guy. We did not have sex all the way.
We did some butt stuff.
Yeah.
No, Luke Perry is a G for you guys at home. Just saying.
Yeah.
And Raiden, who I will have many, many things to say about this later.
Oh, I have a lot to say as well.
Clancy Brown.
Now, who's Clancy Brown? I don't know that name.
You would recognize him if you saw his face. He's been in a gajillion things. One of the biggest is Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, that guy.
Yes.
He's done all of the genre things.
He was in he was in the Chris Elliott movie Cabin Boy as the giant.
Yeah.
That's how I know.
Highlander as Kurgan.
Yeah, love me some Highlander.
There you go.
He's done
also Highlander also had the movie Raiden in it.
That's right.
You guys remember Mortal Kombat, the movie?
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. What?
Christopher Lambert was in the Mortal Kombat movie as Lord Raiden. That's what she said.
Right. Yes. Gotcha.
Crossover.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But yeah, I like this. I like the credit sequence at the beginning or the intro because it sets up a really, really, really simple premise for a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fabric between worlds is getting thinner, and so outworlders are sort of
People are coming from other dimensions.
Yeah, like making their way into Earth, and everyone knows that Earthrealm. Everyone always wants to take it over because it's a sweet ass place, guys. Earthrealm's a sweet ass place.
This is the part I didn't understand because the story of Mortal Kombat. And you tell me if I'm mistaken, but the idea is that they have like once a generation or whatever it is, a period of time, they have a fighting tournament.
Yep.
And if you can win 10 in a row fighting tournaments, then you like take over that dimension. And the story of the first Mortal Kombat game, the bad guys Outworld has won 9 in a row.
Yes.
So this is like the big one for all the marbles to not lose the human thing. And in canon, Liu Kang wins the tournament.
Yeah, correct.
And saves the world. So my thing here is like if we take all that as canon, then it's not really very sporting of the evil people to just be like, oh, did you win the tournament thing that we set up? We're just going to send portals anyway and just try to take over.
I'm sorry,
we're
did
dicks.
You just say that it's not sporting for the bad guys?
It's not sporting, Chan. Thing. I feel like if we have a structure and we have rules, and you got to play within the rules,
except
our world.
I think that the reason they play within the rules is because they have to, because before the fabric was thick enough that they had no choice.
Right.
But now that the fabric is thin enough, they're like, well, fuck those rules.
That's like saying that, like, okay, you guys are supposed to be in jail. The cement walls just became perilously thin. There was an accident.
And you should stay in jail because you're a jail person.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was weird for me as a Mortal Kombat 1 fan to see bad guys and good guys working together.
Sure, I mean,
in the story, they all became good guys, though.
I know.
Real Ghostbusters. Slimer.
Slimer's there.
Like, hey, Slimer was always like, oh, all right. He just wants to eat hot dogs.
I'm just saying that any cartoon that gets turned, any property that gets turned into cartoon,
I guess
they're
going to
play fast and loose.
Keep them in the cartoon as bad guys. Like it would be like a He-Man versus Skeletor type situation.
Except for the fact that Sub-Zero is everybody's favorite.
Yeah.
Because he's a cool ass ninja.
Yeah, I mean, he could still be the bad guy and be everybody's favorite.
You guys, I think we're burying an important lead that Gina said a few minutes ago. She doesn't like the wolf companion, Kiva. She said that she could kill the wolf.
Her love of violence is stronger than her love of animals.
It surprised me.
No, here's the thing. First of all, it's Kiba with a B, which I learned when I looked it up.
Oh, okay.
I just thought, why is this character in here? And when I looked it up, I was like, okay, I get it, but... like if we had the wolf and not the man, I would have been on board.
So you hate Native Americans? Is that what I'm getting at?
I didn't like that they were wasting a spot on not a super famous Mortal Kombat character. Like put Goro in there or something.
Goro
as the pet of Nightwolf?
No, I'm saying instead of Nightwolf, put Goro, and Goro's got a wolf.
We need to track.
What?
Get Goro.
I just think like Nightwolf's not famous enough. And I did like upon looking him up, I learned he's the most famous Native American video game character.
Yeah, okay, I can see that, I guess. And that's kind of sad if you really break it down.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Gina is well known for having a bunch of racist, sexist assholes sending her death threats. You diversity people, people who would like to see Native Americans in video games.
I hear Gina's a fan of diversity, but I guess not.
No, go ahead and send her death threats.
Here's the thing. Goro is
she
diverse.
Hates Native Americans.
Goro is diverse. Also, there's people from multiple different worlds that you could have chosen for that. Like Baraka, I don't know what the hell he is. He's diverse.
He's an alien.
He's an alien.
He is not a Native American.
I think he's a demon.
You know the worst thing about all that? Goro and Baraka, both white.
Yeah, definitely.
Can I just go ahead and put that out there?
I just want, if you're going to say to me, here's the thing. Where is Johnny Cage?
That's what I have right here. Where is Johnny Cage?
Johnny Cage is not afraid to die.
Well, maybe that's Johnny Cage, because remember, Johnny Cage died in the story of Mortal Kombat 2.
Okay. But first of all, yes, I get it.
He didn't appear in Mortal Kombat 3.
You're talking about the movie. You're talking about the movie.
I'm talking about the video game.
Okay.
In the canon of the video game, I think this takes place at the time of Mortal Kombat 3. That's why we have Striker and Nightwolf and good Sub-Zero and Jax.
Right now I'm Googling most popular Mortal Kombat characters. Just because I'm curious. But I will say, I'll tell a story about Johnny Cage while my phone is loading.
Prepare yourself.
I might have told this on the podcast before because it's one of my favorite stories.
Did you have sex with Johnny Cage?
Yes.
The most famous person we ever had sex with, part two, Johnny Cage.
So Johnny Cage, when the video game was being developed, the very first video game.
Yes.
They designed a character around Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That is correct.
And they had the whole body, they had the whole face, they had exactly what his moves were going to be, what his finishing moves were going to be. And then when it came time to finalize everything, he basically said, hey, I'm going with these guys who did a different video game that's specifically just about me.
Right.
So he didn't want to.
I think it was called like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, it was like the Jean-Claude Van Damme game. But he was like, he would rather do his own video game than this other one. Obviously, no one remembers that one. Everyone remembers Mortal Kombat. He made the wrong decision. But then they were like, oh, crap, we've got all these body designs. He was supposed to be our hero, yeah. Although I guess like Liu Kang is the hero. But they were like, yeah, this is supposed to be like our dude that everyone wants to be. What do we do? And then they were like, well, and they had the whole backstory. He was going to be a movie star that was specifically good at
punching in the nuts and doing
like
the splits.
At different fighting moves. But then he was also recruited to play in this tournament because he was legitimately good at martial arts. And so they were like, let's just keep literally everything the
everything.
Same and change the name to Johnny Cage.
And even the initials, JC. Yeah. Like, it's right there.
So they kept the character.
Fun fact,
the same.
Originally it was Jesus Christ. Before it was Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Here's the thing.
Nailed that one, Chan.
Mm-hmm. Mortal Kombat characters, greatest of all time. Scorpion, Sub-Zero, Sonya Blade, Johnny Cage, Katana, Reptile, Raiden, Liu Kang, Shang Tsung,
baby.
I don't know who that is.
He's the villain. He's the monster. He's the bad guy at the end of the first one who changes forms.
Shao Kahn, Goro.
I hate Shao Kahn.
Melina, who I also love to play with.
Oh, she's fun.
Kano. Mm. So, Jax. Like, that's what I'm saying. These two guys in here aren't even in the top 20.
Well, you got to fill it out with. There's only so many good guys you can pick from, you know.
Yeah, but clearly they're.
I mean, here's the thing. Let's just go down the list of the cast. Raiden, Asian. Liu Kang, Asian. Katana, woman. Sub-Zero should be Asian, but he's got a mask, so we don't really, you know.
I think he is Asian.
Never mind the fact that he's 90210 kid.
Oh,
Jax
is
a black guy. Sonya Blade is a woman. Nightwolf is a Native American. Striker is the only white dude in the cast.
I'm saying put Johnny Cage in there.
She's saying there's not enough white people in the cast.
No, I'm saying I don't
need more diversity.
I don't want Striker in there. I'm saying get rid of Stryker.
Get rid of Ron Perlman?
Here's the thing. I had to look him up. They can get Johnny Cage as played by Ron Perlman. No one would bat an eye.
But not if he's dead.
I don't care for that at all.
I think that's the whole...
I mean...
If the character is decapitated.
Here's the thing. Lots of characters in lots of... I don't know if you guys ever played Tekken, because I was a huge Tekken fan in college.
Like Kuma the Panda Bear.
But like those people died all the time. I played Julia.
Tekken.
Yeah, I think that was Tekken 4.
Tekken is a concept. It's not just a game.
But if you ever went online and read the extensive lore, as I did,
yes.
I'm Tekken, boys. you would know that people frequently die and then are reborn and die and are reborn. So they could have written this in. I mean, Sub-Zero is not the original Sub-Zero, by the way.
And Johnny
Sub-Zero,
Cage.
Sub-Zero swore to avenge his brother, the original Sub-Zero. And then put on the outfit to avenge him. So they could have had like Johnny Cage and just been like, this isn't the real Johnny Cage. Or they could have been like, we $6 million manned Johnny Cage, even though I get that that's sort of what Jax is.
Well, Johnny Cage came back in the video games too, and now he has a daughter who's also fighting like Cassie Cage.
And also, I don't want, to be clear, I am not defending Stryker. Stryker is far from the best.
I love him. I love him so much.
You're choice, you're but defending also, Nightwolf?
I don't give a shit. Yes, I'm defending Nightwolf. No, I don't give a shit about Johnny Cage.
He should earn his spot. He shouldn't just get in because he's diverse.
Well, guys, let's get into the episode here because we've talked 20 minutes about just the opening credits.
I love those opening credits.
Quan Chi, who I see as like Outworld's favorite juggalo.
Quan Chi and his sidekick Chewy.
Also created specifically for this cartoon, by the way. Not
no, he's well, in the game.
No, this is Quan Chi.
He's a character he was later Mortal Kombat.
In later, I'm saying he was specifically created for the cartoon.
Yeah, and it's a one-off character,
isn't
it? And
then they put him in later.
Oh, really? Because I remember playing as him before. But if you're right. I guess time-wise,
look it up.
Yeah.
That's a good call. This was his first appearance in the Mortal Kombat universe.
That's pretty cool. I did not know that. Well, he sees the future, and that future involves a bunch of robot ninjas getting thrown into some purple shit.
I don't know if y'all have ever played the game Star Wars: The Sith Lords. It's the sequel to Star Wars: Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, classic!
But this dude looks exactly like one of the Sith Lords in that video game.
Sure. And that's probably totally coincidental too.
I'm sure it is actually.
I don't know, white face with like a couple black markings in the eyes and some red stuff.
But also that's, like completely bald. Also like the clothing. If you Google an image of like Star Wars: The Sith Lords, you'll see exactly who I'm talking about.
It was like a standard evil 90s evil dude.
Yeah. But also the Sith Lords came out in like 2005 or something as a video game.
Yeah. Mm. So. Well, Quan Chi learns that his plan's not going to work. His plan was to just send out a bunch of random robot ninjas, and they were all going to get their asses kicked, which I think he didn't need a pool to tell him that, I guess is what I'm saying. Uh-huh, like, uh-huh. I had a feeling that plan was not going to work.
Well, no, what he was saying was that if they're distracted with this fight, I'm going to be able to go to this other crack in the, what do you call those?
He goes to South America. Yeah. That's pretty
cool.
And close,
I'm going to get a bunch of lead time. Yeah, that looks like, you know. I'm going to have lead time and they're not going to, you know, fight with me. Yep. So,
well, and we also have a really interesting dynamic between Sonya Blade and Jax, who fought in special forces together.
Are we not talking about like all the snake business and magical, which what amounts to Spanx, with Sorcerer Spanx, because the snake rolls up around him and like, boom, gives
snake
him a little
belt.
Nice waist.
Snake belt is super cool.
Yeah.
I really just didn't have an opinion on that whatsoever. I was just, after Serpentor, like, what snake-themed guy do I really need in my life after that?
Just saying that if you're talking fashion accessories, sure, Serpentor has those, like, shoulder snakes.
Yeah.
They don't make a lot of sense.
I think Serpentor
sometimes
would be super jelly of the snake belt.
Yeah, if you saw that, it was like, my God, I could look so much more svelte if I had used these snakes for their intended purpose.
I am always horrified by how much he must sweat underneath that Serpentor outfit because I feel like it's very stinky at this point.
I appreciate that. Well, can we talk about Jax and Sonya Blade?
I mean, this is always their dynamic.
Yeah.
In the movie, it's their dynamic, but also he's being super not cool to her in the scene, in my opinion.
This is what I'm saying. She ends up, they're hazing each other a little bit, and she calls him blubber butt, and he like gets all quiet. He's like, that's really offensive
to me. He turns into a little bitch insults her.
Yes.
No, if you hit that specific, everybody's got the one thing they keep buried and no one, and don't ever bring up. And if you manage to just accidentally smack that one soft spot, everybody's got one.
No, if you're the one who starts the teasing, anything is fair game. You can't get mad then because then you're one of those people who can dish it out but can't take it.
No, there are some places you don't go. If you're like, hey man, oh you're a piece of shit. Oh yeah, you fucking asshole. Hey, your mother's dead.
No, but here's the thing. This is a thing that like she clearly didn't know he had an issue with before.
And why would she know that?
And why would she know that? And this is where he has no right to like get pissy.
What he should have said
is like, hey, real talk, I used to be like kind of chubby as a kid. I'm cool with the ribbing, but like just not about that specific thing. That's how you handle that.
Well, that's what he did.
You don't get pissy.
And it's not
like
just don't ever bring it up again. And I'm like, okay, we're cool. And obviously it's going to come up again. But, you know, I think at the beginning it was handled as it should have been.
I mean, honestly, if he got pissy with me, I would have been like, whatever, Fatty McFat Jacks.
Thank you. Because it's just like, you're clearly fit right now, and you've got robot arms,
exactly.
And you look great, and you're a good-looking dude. So it's just like, I'm so sorry kids in elementary school were mean to you.
No.
Get over some shit, dude.
Once a fat kid, always a fat kid.
Oh, nah.
100%.
Not when people you win a Mortal Kombat tournament. Then
you win
can,
shit.
I feel like he won one of the Mortal
he's
Kombat
still
tournaments.
Alive
even
in the
if, he, even
he
if he didn't win it, he's in tremendous shape. And like a lot of people are former fatty fats.
Yeah, I used to be fat.
But here's the thing. This is a big thing in the 80s and 90s because I still remember those Hulk Hogan things on Nickelodeon.
Sure.
Where he talked about how he was like a chubbo who started working out. And this was a thing that they used to like really nowadays, not so much. And I'm not sure why. I guess it has to do with like body shaming. But like back in the day, they used to be like, hey, look at these famous fit people who used to be fattykins. And like it was supposed to like motivate people. Like I remember watching that Hulk Hogan thing where he was a really, really, really chubby kid who got picked on. And one day he was like, all right, I'm going to like work out like crazy. And then he got fit. At least that was the story that they told us constantly on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it constantly.
I don't know if I'm buying that.
Really?
One. Yeah.
Interesting.
And how did that work out? It turned out to be like a crazy racist.
That was like
made a porn
years
film.
Later.
Adulterer.
That was years later. But I
right.
remember seeing
Yo,
that and being like, oh, cool. He got super fit.
And you saw that and you were just like, I need to lose some weight.
I started training like Rocky the next day.
Dang it.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Prepare yourself for combat. Mortal Kombat action figures. Fight for right in your own tournament of champions. Liu Kang. Johnny Cage. Raiden. Get over here. Sub-Zero. Reptile in the Dragon MK1. Kano on the combat cycle. Mortal Kombat. It's not just a game anymore. Mortal Kombat action figures. Combat cycle comes with Kano. Dragon MK1 comes with Reptile. Now, back to G.I. Joe.
How come the Mortal Kombat team flies around in bird harriers?
I have no idea.
I was trying to figure this out, because they have, like, the X-Men, like, jets, but, like, multiple of them, even though each one looks like it could carry the whole team.
Yeah, this is the thing. In the 90s, things that were sort of on the edge in the 80s, they're just like, well, why don't we just push it a little bit further? And, you know, you've got this thing that it looks a little bit like the Blackbird, but actually looks much more like the ship from Battle of the Planet / G-Force, which actually turned into a Phoenix. And it's like they took it and then made it, using air quotes here, real. Mm-hmm. Like it's got like the flame sort of things on the wings, mm-hmm. and they sort of move like they're organic, but it's just metal. It's terrible.
I thought the same thing. This was one of the scenes that I hated because I was like, why? Just show them walking or something.
Not just that. Like, I mean, like, just put some missiles on it. You don't need to be great fighters. Just go and you blow up. These robot ninjas are like turning to dust from the slightest provocation.
I didn't want to see these awesome fighters in jets at all. I wanted to see them like trekking through Outworld like they do in the movie.
That'd be cool.
I was like, I want to see those terrifying like stone monsters. Like, I want to see Reptile. I want to see, you know what I mean? I want to see a cool backdrop. And I feel
Gina,
like
Gina, do you know
like,
how much it would cost to have them in Outworld? You have to do it on Earth because that's the location fees alone are just outrageous.
And where were they fighting? It was like the nebulous northeast of America.
Iceland.
Iceland.
Okay. I will say that, like, I get that you can't have them killing real live things, but I am getting very sick of the, oh, if they're like, let's just make them robots so then they can destroy them.
But it's the '90s. That's just, you know, that's just what you had.
Cybernetic ninjas.
That's all cartoons. We've done that on regular show too. We've had them destroy robots.
But this is a Mortal Kombat show where people get brutally murdered for your amusement.
Yeah, that was kind of my idea.
There are cybernetic ninjas in the game. So it's not a big stretch.
The red one.
I just want them to like kill some real people sometimes.
And once again, Gina's bloodlust overcomes her compassion for living things.
No, I don't have compassion for living things. I have compassion for animals. Let's get it straight. I don't care about humans.
Except that you don't want the wolf there.
Yeah, but you want the wolf to die.
I don't
want
to kill the wolf. Like, I will take the wolf, but not the dude. Because he's taking up a spot.
Wow.
Yeah, Native Americans are just taking up spots that a perfectly good white dude could replace.
Stay tuned for more Mortal Kombat on the USA Action Extreme Team.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe X-Wing.
It changes from a jet to an attack copter.
X-Wing, X-Wing, Cobra's gonna feel your sting.
Joining the attack is the G.I. Joe Mean Dog.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe, the G.I. Joe Mean Dog. Mean Dog's got a bad bite. Looking for Cobra and Ixion to fight. But nobody beats G.I. Joe, a real American hero.
X-Wing comes with pilot, Mean Dog with driver.
We're back with the action on the USA Action Extreme Team.
Is this a weird spot to put the commercial break? Because Quan Chi is about to go through.
Quan Chi
is he's about to go through the portal and be like open us. Essentially,
it will never not sound like crunchy to me.
Yeah,
and I'm just
just keep thinking of Squanchy from Rick and Morty.
Yep,
into it.
Also that
because his plan is to go and open a portal in Iceland. Literally, we're going to send every Mortal Kombat fighter there because reasons. And so now I'm going to open up a second portal in South America.
No,
on the other side of the world.
He did not open it.
Snake versus flaming skull thing. Is that what this is?
Well, okay, hold on a sec.
What am I missing here?
The portal that's opened up is Shao Kahn. He's sending people through.
I thought he was doing that portal.
No, this guy, Squanchy, is looking in the future and seeing like, okay, the Mortal Kombat people are going to be there in Iceland. This is the time for me to go down to South America and jump on my own portal before they can like come to try and stop me.
This was complex. I will say, so the Flaming Skull was... Yeah.
The Flaming Skull was in this other, I forget the name of the place. It's the...
The Crunchy Palace.
The Crunchy Palace, Zaterra. It's in Zaterra in this other dimension, and the skull is there to protect the gem, and so his snake
Shang Tsung never, or Shao Kahn never considered the idea of opening just two fucking portals? Like, it just seems like it wouldn't be that hard to do.
He's a stubborn man.
You know, because if they're going to send every member of the team to the first portal, you could really rip some shit up, you know?
Yeah.
Even with those jets, like, you got a good couple hours, I would figure, of just, like, ruining the world.
That's true.
That's why I just have it's a weird. So Quan Chi goes into I have to assume is the Fortress of Solitude.
It's a big green gem. It's a big green blob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he finds the gem of Tetsuri, which is just a gem.
It is the shrunken heart of the sorcerer Tetsuri.
Yeah. There you go. Sure. And then
is all information.
That was in the episode.
I have it written down here. I just felt it so unimportant. It's like we've said many. It's just a MacGuffin. It's it is what it is.
Well,
the
entire cartoon is a MacGuffin for these dudes punching. It's like
that's what we all want to see anyway.
So the good guys defeat all the robot ninjas.
I will say it right now. I don't want to see these people fight because their fight animation is garbage. And to be fair,
it's really bad.
It's really hard.
It's pretty bad.
And that's the difference between even Mortal Kombat 1, the movie, and the second Mortal Kombat.
Oh, second Mortal Kombat's so bad.
The first Mortal Kombat actually has some decent fights.
Oh, yeah.
And there's good choreography and whatnot. You get to the second movie, cut. There's no, the fight choreography is terrible, and it's just shot and edited terribly.
They also, if you look up about the first movie, who the fighters were, like the guy that they got to play Sub-Zero was a legit like martial artist. Like they actually got actors who were like stuntmen slash martial artists. And in the second one, they were like, ugh, just get Asian dudes.
Yep.
I guess.
It's almost like the first one had some thought behind it, and the second one was a cash grab or something.
I was so bummed, too, because I legitimately love the first Mortal Kombat.
I love the first Mortal Kombat movie. Yeah, it's a good action movie.
And every time the second one comes on, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to watch it because I love the first one. I'm going to watch the second one. I know it's not as good, but it'll tide me over. And I make it like a halfway through that movie, and I am pissed.
Then when they kill Johnny Cage, I'm just like, meh.
That, and plus then they introduce like badass female characters who were badass in the video game, and then they have like terrible costumes and makeup, and I'm like, ugh.
Holy shit, did you know?
Like Jade.
In the original Mortal Kombat movie, Sonya Blade was going to be played by Cameron Diaz, but she broke her wrist during training.
I do remember hearing that.
So you get the teacher from Billy Madison instead.
Madison. Yeah. And also she was in Last Action Hero with Arnold Schwarzenegger. She played his daughter.
There it is. Huh. Okay, so if you're a Mortal Kombat fighter and you've just defeated a bunch of robot ninjas and a portal opens up and a kid comes out and offers you a gem,
I just wrote
what
down,
do you do?
Don't trust that blue boy. Mm-mm. But here's the thing, they don't really like trust him. Because
they don't.
I thought it was going to be, I was like, ugh, this is so dumb, I'm pretty pissed. And then Katana was like, hold up, something's not right. So I was like, cool, they made the chick the smart one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I was under the impression that this Quan Chi guy was a regular villain on the show. So I was like, you dummies, that's just a young Quan Chi. And then I realized like, oh, okay, no, this is somebody new. Katana vaguely notices him because she probably knows of this Quan Chi, but hasn't really seen him or met him.
Yeah, by name, but not by face.
Right. So it made sense. And I'm looking back, and I was like, oh, this is actually a solid plot point.
Yeah,
like these people wouldn't necessarily know to not trust this kid who looks like a refugee for all intents and purposes.
But if you live in the Mortal Kombat universe and somebody comes out of a magic portal and offers you something, your first instinct should be, "I'm not taking that."
Are you taking an anti-refugee stance here on the
show?
Yes,
he is.
Ray?
Because
I am.
Even knowing that Princess Katana is in that very same situation.
Here's the deal: if you got a bowl of Quan Chi's and three of them are poison. Do you keep eating the Quan Chi's?
It's not
Thank
a bowl
you.
Of Quan Chi's. It's a Quan Chi's platter.
It's a platter.
Oh, Quan Chi. Okay.
I'm with it. Like I'm a Quan Chi's tray.
Mm-hmm,
For a little while there, I was hoping
that this
would turn into an Apple of Eris kind of story.
That's exactly what I wrote down as well. Yes.
And it sort of followed this roughly the same path, but not, which is kind of a bummer. I kind of feel like there would have been a stronger choice.
Kalista.
Like you wanted them to argue over the heart itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, I'm a dick now, because it should have been pretty clear, like, I have ill feelings towards you. Oh, right. We just talked about this 12 seconds ago.
But also, again, they do figure it out very quickly. Like, if this was He-Man, it would take them an entire episode to realize what was happening.
Right.
Versus, like, this time Katana's like, yo, remember that this thing just happened and we're all acting weird now? And then Raiden comes in and he's like, by the way, you're acting weird because this. Don't give in to it.
Yep.
But I will say, I am very happy because, spoiler alert, they're all going to get really mean to each other in a second.
Oh, yes.
Very they happy that it never got racial. Because here's the thing. They have no censor. Like seriously, if you had no censor.
Sure.
And you were dealing with people of another race or another like alien thing. At some point, you're gonna use a word you should not use.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Yes.
That this is a cartoon intended for children, and at no point since, I don't know, the late 70s, are you going to have somebody like, hey, spear chucker, why don't you go do something? That's not a thing that will ever happen.
I'm just saying,
I was happy it didn't.
I feel like all the people of Earth have come together in harmony because of the alien force that almost destroyed us all. Isn't that what they say is going to happen if the aliens attack? That we forget about race entirely? I think the Mortal Kombat world maybe isn't such a bad place to be because it's a post-racial universe.
Except not in Earth realm.
Well, why not?
I mean, like, because in Earthrealm, it's still taking place in, like, the 90s and 2000s and today.
A better 90s, 2000s and today, because we're in a post-racial world there.
I wrote in my notes, ooh, good plan, and I don't know if it meant Quan Chi's plan or whatever plan they come up with next.
Well, the plan was to go destroy this stone so that the spell will be broken or whatever.
They all get super pissy and they're all gonna, like, within
not
2 days
of them, not the...
Well, Night Wolf wasn't there,
yeah,
so they all the main characters that Gina cares about all get super pissy and they all start just fighting with each other, and that's gonna go from verbal, it's gonna escalate to physical, and these are Mortal Kombat fighters, so there's probably gonna be some murder. And so the idea being is that Crunchy has to return the gem, but now how come he's not still affected by the gem as well?
That's what he says, is that because he's a very powerful sorcerer, so he's like,
he can withstand it.
He's got to return it, because if he hangs on for too long, then he will also be corrupted.
The ring of Sauron him.
But it doesn't diminish when the thing's been taken away from you and returned? That's what I didn't quite...
No, it said that the darkness grows in you.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. That's usually how this kind of stuff goes. You can control it for a little while, and then it takes over.
Yeah. And then we have our flashback. Because Sonya Blade, for, like, no reason at all, outs Jax as being a fat kid. And she's like, hey, look at the fat kid. Hey, did you guys know he was a fat kid? Fuck Jax, am I right?
Yeah, this was mean.
It was rough.
I was on her side originally when he was ribbing her and then couldn't take it. And then when she said this, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, and so this is when Lord Raiden shows up and says, guys, stop being dicks to each other. And
okay, let's talk about this weirdness, because he's Lord Raiden, and I don't know if they explain this at some point. They probably make some mention, because also I think in the movie, too, it was kind of like, I'm a god, and like, well, hey, late night, man.
Why is he white? Are you going to ask?
No, why does he all of a sudden just start talking like...
Like a bro dude?
He's so folksy.
Weird. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, I've just specifically written down here. Yeah,
I will say the voice casting on this one did not do it for me.
I mean,
just this one specific character.
The voice is Clancy Brown, and he's fantastic. The actual lines are like. I am talking like a normal god. No, I'm just talking like a guy. Hey, kids.
I mean, I don't know if that's directing or if he, like, forgot what voice he did, but I want my god voice the whole way through.
If you're the god of thunder, you don't say the word ain't. Under any circumstances, you do not use that phrase.
If you think you've been acting weird, you ain't seen nothing yet.
That you can't say that line in a way like, you ain't seen nothing yet.
You could try.
I kind of liked it, though.
Show me what you got.
And so Raiden doesn't go with them. Now, how come? Because Raiden says, you guys got to go on this mission.
No.
But have a good time.
No. Raiden's thing is that they need to do crap on their own. Okay. That's always been his thing.
Okay.
They need to be the best warriors to, like, defend Earthrealm and their own realm.
And probably he's, like, tied to the realm or something like that. But he can't go.
Raiden fights in the tournament, too, though. Am I wrong? Like,
he does fight, but... But there are certain rules with, like, what, like, he can't just, like, Earthrealm is not his realm, so he can't be Earthrealm's defender.
Okay.
But yeah, this is a common thing with him, that he wants them to battle on their own.
Oh, here we go. In the movie, he can't enter the contest because he's not mortal. He can only advise.
Right. But then, he was a character that you could play as...
In, like, most of the most of the games. I don't know. He's also a rad character to play, too. Like, he's super fun. I loved it.
He's always white dudes.
Yeah.
What?
Like, in the movie, he's a white dude. In both movies, he's a white dude.
I mean, well, it's Christopher Lambert. Yeah. Christopher Lambert.
Does he count as white?
Oh, yeah. Christopher Lambert's white.
He's French, though.
I mean, he's super white. But, you know, I mean, it's Christopher Lambert.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I mean... He's
Highlander. You guys are Frenching up his name, and it is just Lambert.
Christopher Lambert.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
He's very French.
Oh, look up, how do you pronounce Christopher Lambert?
Yeah, they
name.
Have those things that speak out names now on websites. So I will say that I was on board with this episode until
the crystal boners?
No, I love me a good crystal boner. But first of all, two things happened. The wolf gets hurt.
Yes.
I don't like that.
No,
I was
you
very
don't even
concerned.
Want it there. So
no, I want animals there. I just don't want it tied to a character that I don't know.
Maybe you should get to know Nightwolf. Maybe, you know, go out for a drink.
I mean, if I had a video game system that would play that all the Mortal Kombats, I would be so on board.
Holy crap!
Yes, Chan.
Oh,
Chan's looking up Christopher Lambert
Chan's
porn.
Really, he, looked, up, he looked up crystal boners.
I looked up how do you pronounce Christopher Lambert. I'm pretty sure it's Lambert. I ended up on this
porn
board
site
that was like, yeah, you pronounce it Christopher Lambert. This is Christopher Lambert. And then all of a sudden, just out of the blue, it just got super anti-Semitic.
What?
Christopher Lambert talk. Christopher Lambert talk. This one here, when you choose mainstream Western culture in which to make your name, you lose rights to regional pronunciation. Isn't that right, Gerard Depardieu? Jew!
What?
Caps, like, what happened? Oh, no. How did I get here?
Wait, what?
Welcome to the internet, Chan. You found it.
And then he starts going on about fags and
oh,
I don't
know.
I was completely blindsided. I am so sorry for a moment. I let my guard down.
Your reaction here in studio for you guys at home right now. Chan just literally, his face turned white.
Yeah.
His eyes got huge, and he started leaning back in his chair like he couldn't. Like he was being pulled backwards.
Yeah,
it was
like
amazing.
I thought he had legitimately accidentally stumbled upon something where like it was Christopher Lambert fucking a baby or something.
Jesus.
Should I look up Christopher Lambert fucking a baby?
No.
We established
yes.
Christopher Lambert.
No, I do not concede to this pronunciation.
Well, let me progress the episode because crystal boners have crystal guys inside. So this is the second generic beat 'em ups that we get to fight. And do you like Sonya's been real pissy towards Jax the whole time to the point where Jax
he was pissy at her first.
It's true, but then Jax has the ultimate walk off line. Could you do me a sound poll real quick, Chan? Because what Jax says to Sonya to shut her down was, I mean, it's pretty rough.
That's fresh coming from a loser who gets her partner killed.
I mean, that's just rough. And you can see Sonya Blade's face right after he says it. She's like, oh.
No, literally, yeah, her head just drops in shame.
Yeah.
Everybody walks away. She stands there.
Just that's the walk off. She may as well just drop the mic at that point.
Yeah, that's way harsher than blubber butt.
Yeah, well, you know, he did share something personal with her that
yeah,
she did throw
she
at the team against him.
I'm not saying she should have spread it.
I'm just saying, if somebody does that to you, you have every right to use the ammunition you've got back at them again.
I mean,
I will
also, they are under the control of this.
Yeah.
I don't
thing,
care
so
if
they're
under control or not. She had it coming.
Ray
hates women.
My favorite, terrible, just awful, like completely misses the mark slam is.
Hey, you got a problem with that, Lulu?
He says Lulu like it's the ultimate killer. I was like,
wait, yeah, who's Lulu?
Liu Kang is a woman.
Yeah. Oh, Lulu.
Lulu.
I will say when I
Looney Tunes. Why not say Looney
Tunes?
No,
here's the thing. As someone who grew up in the 80s and 90s, that was the ultimate insult to a boy that you could do was to switch their name to a girl's name.
I'm sure kids today still do that.
Oh
what
yeah,
are we talking
I distinctly
about?
Remember playing basketball with my brother and his friend Chris. And
fucking
he
Chris.
Was making fun of me, and I called him Christina, and then he held me down on the lawn.
Whoa.
Like pinned me down on the lawn. Take it back. Take it back.
I don't. This
wow,
is
a, I'm getting uncomfortable, guys. This is a little more.
No, little kids playing, but it was. He took it like I had like called his mom a whore or something.
See, I would. I think Lucille would have been the stronger straight woman choice. Lulu
yeah,
is
Lulu, you're
kind
right.
of a middle of the road,
I'll
just
honest,
really weak ass.
If you're friends with Liu Kang and you call him Lulu, that might be kind of cool.
That
might be
exactly.
a friendly thing you do.
Yeah, it's so silly that it doesn't you know. Even register as a mean thing.
Yeah, and this is where we get our golden apple moment. They have to smash the gem, and Quan Chi says, only the strongest among you, only the best fighter among you can
right.
smash the gem. So immediately all the Mortal Kombat characters start facing off as to who's the strongest.
Okay, this was where I said, good plan.
Yeah.
Good plan.
Because
that
they should
would
destroy
be like
each other.
The equivalent of going into a room full of comedians and being like, only the funniest among you.
Right.
It's 5 minutes at the comedy store
and
tonight.
And then immediately those people are turning against each other.
Oh, yeah.
It's true. But
yeah,
this
yeah.
is, the, as you said before, this is Eris and the Golden Apple
yeah.
From the Discordian Tales of Eris was the god of Discord, goddess of Discord, and wanted to spread.
It's a Greek myth.
Yeah, it spread the Discord. I'll tell it real quick for the people at home, but essentially had a golden apple, Eris did, and it said Callisti, I believe, on the side, which means this is for the fairest. and then threw it into a place where there's all these princesses and ladies, and they all started ripping each other apart because they all assumed it was for them.
Yeah, I would not fall. I would not fall victim to that. I would be like, "There's got to be someone fairer than me in this room, right?"
I would look at it and I'd be like, "Well, yeah, clearly."
I'm pretty sure everyone in this room's like, "Yeah, I'm the funniest one here."
No,
no,
yeah, I don't. I don't think
you
I'm
can
the funniest
say that,
one
but
here.
I think all of us in our hearts are secretly like, "I'm the funniest one here."
you might not even admit
it to yourself, but like in your heart, hearts like. I'm the funniest one here.
Mm. Guys, did somebody bring the gem in here? Why, what is happening right now? Are we going to go on Twitter and be like, hashtag the funniest one?
I mean, and now if we're talking about most well-liked, then,
oh, yeah.
Then yeah.
Well, I'm the one our fans most would kill in a fuck, marry, kill scenario.
Sure.
Just for the record. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you at home.
I'm generally unlikable on a number of levels, and I would normally say that I am the least liked person in this room.
Yeah, you're the least liked person in this room. I'll put it out there.
Now that we've done the podcast, there's a lot of people that really don't like you, Ray. And Gina has gone even further. And if we're just talking, just racking up the number of people who hate you.
That's a good point.
I am the most hated now.
I would
be killed.
For this week, at least.
But I will say, among our listeners, hopefully,
unquestionably, you're the favorite.
Can I say, going out in the world, I've had to be like super nice to people just because of all the hatred this podcast has brought about for me. I have to be like extra nice. Oh, it's upsetting because I'm a jerk. So here we go. So the guys, so not only the Mortal Kombat characters like fighting each other and squaring off,
and
they're
I've got all the shit. I've got in all caps here, like so many long jump kicks. Okay, everybody's flying in the air with their like, you know, left leg forward, just like whee.
Where would they find like assets of people fighting? Oh wait, there's three Mortal Kombat games you could have pulled from to pull the fight moves from.
Mm-hmm.
Like how come it's all just lazy jump kicks and just and people grabbing each other and throwing bodies, you know? Like it's terrible. I love it.
But I mean, no, I do understand because like there's almost no cartoons that have good fighting because it's real hard to animate.
It sure is.
And I don't know that I've ever seen an animation of this level have a decent fight in it.
G.I. Joe's got some good fighting. I mean, we've seen some pretty decent stuff in there.
I always think X-Men is
X-Men's really good
fighting. Except the difference is that, like, with G.I. Joe and X-Men, they can rely on weapons and, like, mutant abilities. So you're not just animating hand-to-hand combat.
And G.I. Joe does have a lot of just straight right crosses. Just like a punch, and then the guy goes flying towards the camera. There's just a lot of that.
Yeah,
and not
okay.
a whole lot of like, you know, like an actual kung fu fight or something.
And I could be thinking also of the G.I. Joe movie, too, because when Jinx does her, she's the blind ninja lady, which you guys will see. And when she does her fighting, I remember it being like really like well animated. So the movie's different, though, because there's more money in the movie, you know.
So right. I will say this is the most disappointing part of this episode to me. Not just the part where the wolf gets hurt and then bites a big snake who then like throws him off. I was really concerned for the wolf in this fight scene.
Sure.
But the fact that like. So all it takes to break this hypnosis is to smash that snake belt, apparently.
Correct.
No.
Smash the stone.
Smash the stone.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, some of them seem to be out of the hypnosis when she's fighting the snake and, like, smashes it. They sort of regain their wits a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to smash the stone. But, like, so that happens, and then it's like, ooh, this was, like, a good lesson. And I was like, they didn't fucking learn a lesson. If they had learned a lesson, it would have been like them overcoming the darkness in themselves, which they never do.
Nope.
Like the lesson that you teach a kid is like, because all it is that Night Shadow, whatever his name is.
Night Wolf.
Who spends a lot of this fight just standing.
Yeah.
Not even being like, stop you guys. He's just like, huh.
No, I've written down here, like, literally, he just walks around being like, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop fighting.
And at some point, the only thing he says is, remember, it's like the darkness in you.
Stop it. Remember what Raiden said. Find the honor.
But here's the thing. It doesn't indicate that any of them hear him or register what he's saying. So they keep fighting each other until the stone breaks. Like,
and
if you want a fucking lesson for little kids, if you want to teach kids a lesson, what you have to do is have them like see that inner struggle of them being like, ugh, you're my friend. It's that sure. like scene where someone is brainwashed to shoot their significant other and then they're like, run, and then they shoot themselves instead.
Jessica Jones. That's all I'm thinking
specific.
Of.
Yep.
I'm just saying, like, it's a very well-known trope. But in this, they never have a moment where they're like, oh, I'm fighting the darkness.
Right.
I love you. Run. Or anything like that. It's just like, oh, that was a pretty good lesson. Well, back to normal.
I mean, in any of these sorts of cartoon situations, their main goal isn't to teach lessons. If a lesson gets taught, it's sort of like tacked on at the end. It's like, oh, we need to put a lesson in this. What is it? You shouldn't
play with chemicals.
But then don't at the end of this say we all learned a good lesson.
Oh, no,
I was like, what fucking lesson did you learn?
No, they just tacked
not
it on.
Not to trust refugees?
So when someone's all
that's
like,
the lesson I took from the episode.
Like, I don't want you watching that cartoon about fighting. There's no good to be learned from it. Oh, yeah, but there is, Mom. Buzz actually told us about this.
What thing. Is like, the lesson, though?
No, I'm saying...
Don't fight your friends.
No, I'm saying it's a tacked-on thing. It's a bullshit lesson. It doesn't mean anything.
I'm they saying in this one, they didn't even tack one on.
Yeah, they said it's the lesson.
But they don't say what the lesson is.
Yeah, but they learned one.
Just like, you can't... That's like me making a thing where it's just like us sitting around the table. I fart really long and loud.
Again.
And then one of us says... I think we learned an important lesson. Just because you say you learned an important lesson doesn't mean there was a lesson.
Each other. We have learned there is nothing we cannot accomplish when we honor each other.
That's the lesson.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
but they
you.
They didn't honor
they
each
didn't
other.
Even a little bit. No, here's
of
the question.
Of course they did. Jax was honor the entire time.
Oh,
boom.
Oh, boy.
This is boom.
Boom,
boom. Boom.
I think
hey,
we
you guys.
Figured out who's not the funniest in the
world.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Combat time
was pretty rad.
Is that in the song?
What?
No, that's what they say before the big fight.
Oh, okay.
I think that is a, I think that's her catchphrase.
I hope it is, because that's a great catchphrase.
Because I feel like they said it one more time, and I was like, this sounds very strange, but it sounds like a...
Well, how else are you when you're going to know when the fighting's about to start, unless somebody shouts combat
it's
time?
It's like Yo-Jo?
Yes, I think so.
Well, here's a question.
I would have
like,
to watch more
clobbering time.
Yeah,
okay.
But I have to watch more episodes to find out, and I am not going to.
No,
do that.
I might.
Gina
I
will.
Might.
I am not. We'll
here's the question I have. Now they say that only the best fighter can break the gem, and Nightwolf is the one who breaks the gem.
Ooh.
So
no,
here's
that
my,
was a lie.
No, here's my question: is Nightwolf the best fighter, or was he lying to them to create trouble?
He was lying to them to create trouble.
Okay.
Any of them could have at any point broken that gem.
Right, but also he was the only one who was not under the spell. So he was able to get to it a lot easier.
And also, why didn't they just like, you know what? I'm really mad at you, Gina. One of us is the best fighter. We obviously each think it is. Let's both try to break that gem. And then whichever
like
one of us can do it must
situation.
Be. That's exactly
what
for me.
Or like Thor's hammer situation.
Why would we fight each other to prove it when the provable point is right there on the table with the gem that we could break?
Again, if I was on this fighting team, I would be like, I'm sure this is probably not me. like seriously, anytime there's ever anything that's like, oh, and then like the most honorable, I would be like, I'm not even going to try to pull that sword out of the stone.
You guys figure it out. I'll be taking a nap.
That's what Nightwolf did. He was like, you guys do your thing, man.
And then like there's no hard feelings. As soon as the gem is broken, everybody just shakes it off. And they're like, hey, we're cool again.
Also, I think we're pretty... Like, Liu Kang is the best fighter.
I assume Liu Kang would have been the one to do it, and then he just isn't.
No, but I think it's because it's
it was
a ruse.
A lie. Okay.
But, like, even when they said that, I was like, oh, if I were Liu Kang, I'd be like, yo, I won that tournament, guys.
Just let me get in front.
Like, I think it's established that he is the best fighter, but maybe not.
Can we get a sound pull just of Quan Chi's final, like, death throw? Because it really felt like it was in Chan's wheelhouse of things to put on the podcast.
Please just pull definitely up Squanchy from Martian. Rick and Morty saying Squanch.
I was into that.
Also, the way they like animated his face, like stretched it. Was like, oh my god, this is so 90s right now. And then we get an off-brand. It's like the Jolt Cola of the Mortal Kombat world. Where an off-brand Mortal Kombat song, and I was very pissed.
Yeah, it was similar, but not quite right.
Yeah.
And it's like, why not license it? You own it.
I know. I'm sure at that point it was very expensive.
Can we hear a little bit of that, Chan? Just because it's a joy.
The original, by the way, is Dan. It's very slightly off.
It's close enough that as a kid you can recognize it as this is Mortal Kombat.
this to me sounds like a spaceship flying video game.
I'll be honest, I kind of really like that a lot. Not as good as the piano music from the start, don't get me wrong.
I mean, that piano music was great.
And then that's literally the end of the episode. We're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I feel like you don't want to pay George Clinton all that extra money.
That was not George Clinton.
He did the score, man.
But he didn't write that song, the best song of the Mortal Kombat.
Test your might.
Mortal Kombat.
Great. My Google now knows that I may at some point be searching for Mortal Kombat piano. Because I clicked on so many piano.
Well, you should look up Squanch. I want a Squanch soundbite.
Well, guys, what did we learn from this Mortal Kombat? I learned that it's a USA Network cartoon show, and so instead of being a standard 22, 23 minutes, it was only 20. They pumped 10 minutes of commercials into this episode.
I did notice it was just 20, and I didn't think anything of it.
Because it has to fill a 30-minute time slot, which means they really thought so little of their audience that they put an extra 2.5 minutes of commercials in there.
Well, is it? Yeah, I guess that's true. I was going to say, is it possible that since it was the 90s versus the 80s, they upped the commercial length or something? But
no, because we've watched Batman the Animated Series, and that's been like 24 mm-hmm. minutes of anything.
Yeah, you're
you
right.
know. Chan, you have a sound pull for us. I thought you were looking for the Squanchy.
Oh my god! I'm squanching in here!
Oh my god, I'm old! That is so disgusting!
That was for you, Gina.
Yeah, I loved it.
Pretty fantastic. So, guys, well, that's it for Mortal Kombat. And this has been a Patreon episode. Thank you, Dave the Usher, for being on our Patreon. If you yourself would like to be a part of our Patreon and get more episodes like this on the Secret Vault, or would like to suggest cartoons for us to do episodes on, because we're very happy to do so, you can go to patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast and join our Patreon feed.
Guys, you know there's only one way we can finish this podcast, right?
By putting a belt around our necks and jerking ourselves.
Getting in our best suits.
By the way, real story here.
Real story about autoerotic asphyxiation, guys.
On my old sketch team, I wrote a sketch called Sub-Zero's Girlfriend Finishes Him.
Oh, Jesus.
And I did it live at, and then we eventually filmed
video?
It.
Yes,
yeah,
I've
we eventually filmed it, but it was one of the members of our sketch team dressed in a full Sub-Zero outfit.
That's rad.
And he's sitting next to his wife on the bed, and she's reading a book with one hand and lazily giving him a hand job with the other. And then the voiceover happens and says, "Finish him." She throws her book down, furiously hand jobs him.
God damn it.
And then he does the noises, the ooh, and then he's bobbing around for a little bit, and then uh-huh. she just rips his heart out. And we did a video version of it, and we had the health bar fill up with sperm as she got closer with white sperm. And it's not on YouTube anymore because the guy that we shot that video with, who was Sub-Zero, ended up sexually harassing dozens and dozens of women in the comedy community.
No.
So one of the videos that I am most proud of, we ended up making it like unlisted or something. And I was like, please just make it unlisted so that I can still send it to people that I want to.
So what I hear Gina saying is she wants us to remake the video.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're not going to get a hand job from Gina.
Oh, no. Oh, I
make it awkward for all of us.
It wasn't
here.
It wasn't even me giving the hand job. I wrote it and then made another girl on my team give the hand job.
Like you do in
this,
Hollywood.
To this pervert that was on my team.
Oh, so you're just hoping that Gina will get somebody to give you a hand job
camera. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense. Okay, that's fine.
Uh-huh. Guys, I'm a married man. That's
you
ridiculous.
Have to, if you buy a full-on movie quality Sub-Zero outfit, I will refilm it. I wonder if it's still online out there. It's called Mortal Kombat Sub-Zero's Girlfriend Finishes Him.
It's a pretty great title.
Thank you.
I mean, it pretty much tells you what's going to happen right there.
It's one of those catchy titles. It had a lot of views. Very bummed that guy did that to all those women.
I'm a little like, I feel like there may have been a slight missed opportunity to use like those ice frozen, like the ones you put in the water bottles that are long, and you could have it be just like streams of ice that shot out.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, maybe, like, this is where my brain immediately goes
to. Well, someone pointed out that, is it still there?
It's double up on Funny or Die.
It's still up on Funny, yes.
Yep.
Okay, I gotta see this.
We're doing a podcast, you guys.
We're gonna finish him.
Oh! 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 O
thing. Fatality.
When I first did it at I.O., it got the most thunderous applause, and some people in the audience stood up.
Are you serious?
Her, Maddie, like doing the motions afterwards is what that's really sold it.
Yeah, we asked her to do that during the show. But yeah, in hindsight, someone made a good comment that was like, oh, instead of ripping out his heart, she should have ripped off his dick. And I was like, yes,
doesn't that make
correct,
sense?
Correct.
Damn it.
You are correct. That was a missed opportunity on my part.
Well, guys, that'll do it for us here talking about Mortal Kombat, Defenders of the Realm, the secret of Quan Chi. What was his secret? Did we find out? Like, did he have a secret? Or is he the secret? Now that I'm thinking about it afterwards, like, the secret of Quan Chi is...
His buddies call him Crunchy.
Oh, okay, that's the secret.
Like, I was thinking, like, it's like that he shouldn't have eaten that extra slice of pizza last night.
The secret of Quan Chi. I'll go with pizza.
Yeah.
I can't literally come up with anything right now that would not be inappropriate.
I mean, maybe it's that, I know what it is. The secret of Quan Chi is that he wears snake Spanx.
Oh, okay.
It's like how women, right. Like how you like look at a silhouette of a woman and you're like, she's hot. She's got a secret.
I like the way that you did that as a little aside to the microphone. Like it was that was just for them.
Yeah, the secret is that his silhouette isn't that sexy. It's snake Spanx.
He's not really that sexy looking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, there it is. Real quick contact information. You can hit us up at facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. I've shilled for the Patreon already. You can hit us up on Twitter at G.I. Joe Podcast. But individually, I am at Almighty Ray.
I'm at 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy.
And I'm enjoying doing all these different episodes. As it goes forward, we're going to do the next couple weeks. We're going to have a bunch of guests to do the two miniseries, The Mass Device, as well as The Weather Dominator. And then we're going to kind of sprinkle in some Series 2 DIC Deke episodes with more just like random stuff that people suggest to us, maybe off the Patreon, maybe stuff we just want to do. And that's how we're going to do it. So until then, guys, Gina, do you have a last thing for our people at home?
First of all, I was going to say, maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's Snake Spanx. Second of all, I was going to say this.
Finish it.
That's how you go out in a podcast about Mortal Kombat.
Oh, okay. So who got finished?
Finish him.
Yeah, Chance got it.
I think we're done.
Hey, you. No, don't look over here. Keep your eyes on the road. Got something for you. Take a listen to this.
In the newest Pokemon, they have Score Bunny, which is a starter.
What?
Yes.
Score Bunny?
So it's a fire bunny that plays soccer. He kicks balls.
He scores. Great.
Score, like Scorch, I think. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Like goal. Like Score Bunny.
Rad.
There's Score Bunny, who uses his mad soccer skills to steal, I think, like donuts or something like that.
How does he use his soccer skills to steal donuts?
He kicks it.
Oh, yummy.
The best part is, though, Score Bunny wants to go and follow Ash and go on big adventures. But
oh my
Ash
god,
is like,
Ash is still the main character of the anime?
Yes, where have you been? Yeah, so Ash is like, I'm getting on the train. I'm leaving, Score Bunny. And Score Bunny's like...
Is it because he's 80 years old? That's why he sounds like that? Nothing makes donuts taste better than a foot coming in contact with them.
If you like what you heard and love co-op with your friends, check out Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.